reminded today have rose. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercies are everlasting, and his truth endures unto all generations. Psalm 100. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, thy cup runneth over. Surely thy goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. And I can't remember the song.
Bye.
Good morning to you guys out there. Good morning to everybody that's here with us in person. Before we get going really into this, I want to tell y'all, wasn't Kennedy, wasn't that great? She's ministering before the Lord, okay? She may have missed that line, you know, in Psalm 23, but it's been a while since she said those, and she does awesome, you know, with her scripture. I want to tell y'all something, though. About 2 weeks ago, she stood up here and she said 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's the love chapter, Miss Pat knows. That's a Mandela, because it used to be love, not charity. Okay, and so Kennedy memorized and said that, but what I want to share with y'all is, there's a lot of you guys out there that already know this. Kennedy's been sick for more than a couple of weeks. She was running fever standing up here doing that day. She is running fever standing up here doing it today also. And I want to thank you guys out there. There's been so many of y'all that have been praying for her. And we thank y'all for your prayers, okay? They mean a lot to us. And she's doing a lot better. We haven't broke the fever yet, but she's doing so much better, okay? I want to give a shout-out right quick to Miss Melissa. She's in North Carolina. Thank you for your comment. I saw you out there online. And I want to say to Miss Lori, I'm proud of you. She told me, she shared her testimony and said she got rid of all of the Disney out of their house. I think she was commenting on either the demonic dolls message or the bad dolls message. And so that makes God's heart so proud, okay? I want to say something to Miss Jackie. You know I love you, Miss Jackie, and I thank you so much for your prayers over me, this ministry, and all of us. And I thank you for the encouragement that you share. I do take those encouraging words that you share, and they are such a blessing. And I want to tell you something. You shared a couple of things over this series that we're in right now on tithing that really God's been ministering to your heart. He ministers, if you're really in Christ, he ministers to all of us like that. Because I want to tell you, she said that she felt so bad after hearing like Pastor Erustus and them in Kenya. A lot of them, they're having one meal a day. And over here, we don't live like that. We have three meals a day and snacks and, you know, whatever else, right? And when you really think about them over there, it'll hurt your heart. And she said she thinks about how much food and leftovers and things that they throw away out of the refrigerator that doesn't get eaten in time or that goes bad or whatever. I feel the same way. I'm always having good intentions that me and my family are going to eat more fruits and vegetables and that kind of thing. And then sometimes you're on this, I'm not doing the GMO stuff. I'm doing, you know, organic, and then organic spoils so much faster. And then you have rotten apples and rotten this and that, and you're throwing food out. And I feel the same way because I think about them when I'm throwing that food out that's spoiled so fast. So you're not alone in that. But something else she shared, she was talking about those shoes that we showed from India that Pastor Dauber took a picture of, like the flip-flops with the holes in the heels that went all the way through to the rocks on the ground. She was talking about some lady somewhere that has 3,000 pairs of shoes. And she was talking about how lopsided are some things in this world. Seriously, that's ridiculous. When then you look at other people who have one pair and they've got holes worn through. And they're flip-flops in the wintertime. And it's cold there in India. Okay, so that's my shout-outs. And I want to give one more special shout-out, because I don't really say anything a lot of times to you guys on the air. But I want to give a shout-out to the prayer team. And Miss Pat, she's part of that prayer team. I want to thank y'all for your dedication to the Lord and for standing with this ministry and praying over the needs and the requests that come in, okay? And lifting up this ministry as well as each other. I thank you for your service to the Lord. I thank you for standing with this ministry. I thank y'all for what you do. I really do. You're laying up great rewards and treasures in heaven, doing this work, this service for His kingdom. Thank you. Okay, this is part three. It's a worthy bride tithing. And you guys will know that what started all this is I was praying on Luke 21:36, and I was asking the Lord, what all does it mean to be considered worthy? Because I wanted to be sure I make the rapture, right? I don't want to miss it. And so I was asking Him, like, is there anything I'm not thinking about? And He pointed some things out to me that, like I said, Scott and I were doing, but we are called to teach and preach these things because we want other people to make sure, like, you got a checklist and you can go, I got these things going on, right? And He revealed to me, gave me revelation about tithing. That is walking in obedience to Him. And those that are not tithing, now we know, we've talked about this last week, the new baby Christian that doesn't know anything about it and different things, right? But the Lord will grow you up. And then once you hear that teaching and you know about it and you've seen it in Scripture, then He expects you to walk into obedience, okay? That's part of discipling, and that's what these messages are also supposed to be doing, as well as exposing the evil and the wicked. We also want to disciple and teach, okay? So anyway, one part of the revelation is that we all needed to seek the baptism into the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is that baptizer. Remember, John said, I baptize you in water, but there's one coming who I'm not worthy to latch his sandals, who will baptize you in water and with fire. That's Jesus Christ. There's a second baptism that you need besides just in water, okay? And we should seek it. And it'll be up to Him when He pours it out on you. But don't be guilty of not asking, okay? That's the power of God. That's when Holy Spirit gives you the gifts. And you start moving. God's power starts moving through you, okay? And the other part of what He revealed to me was tithing. There's a lot of people that are against it, that are saying it's Old Testament, that are saying it's a sin. And we've gone through all that with the first couple, okay, of teachings on this. So look at this picture. Because everybody out there who's naming Jesus Christ on the lips and saying that they're a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, then you should want to be partaking. You should want to be in this, which is a picture of the rapture. It's when Jesus comes down and doesn't set His feet on the earth, but calls us up to Him, those that are worthy. He said, watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming on this earth, okay? So we want to make sure we are considered worthy. Giving, and we brought this out last week, we're going to pick back up with where we left off. Giving is a proof of our love to God. You don't give, that says something to Him, because we showed last week at the end of the message that God is the biggest giver. He gave what and who? Jesus Christ. He gave His very best. And what did Jesus give? His very life, okay? And God expects us to tithe, and on top of that, He wants us to give. And what does He do in return? He blesses us. He pours out a blessing so great we can't even take it all in. It comes in many different ways, as well as money, okay? Don't just sit there and think, okay, I gave 50, so I'm expecting 100. It's going to come in different ways, and it might be money one time. It might be something else another time. It might be a better job. That's what we were talking about here this morning. It might be better benefits. It might be, you just don't know what all it's going to be. And like Miss Pat said, a lot of times He'll surprise you. When those are the best things, when you don't even see it coming and He does something awesome like that. And I'll tell you what, you start praising Him and thanking Him, okay? So we're going to start right out in Scripture. This has been a very biblical, scriptural message for us, you guys. The first one we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 and 8. And it says, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." And Paul is talking about the grace of giving. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Now, a complete Christian or a complete Christian church must be able to excel in giving. Okay? Paul was going to measure the Corinthians' giving compared to the Macedonian Christians. Remember last week we talked about the Macedonian church. It was poor. It was a poor church. And remember, they collected an offering and they were asking him, kind of like we would do today, "No, that's okay. No, take it. No, that's okay. No, take it." And they wanted him to take it like that, and they took it. And so he's telling them, "Let's see how your giving is," because he knew they weren't poor like the Macedonians were. And if the Macedonians gave from their heart giving like that, how much more could that church do, right? So he said he was going to measure the Corinthians' giving compared to the Macedonian churches because they gave out of their poverty. They were giving, remember, to help the Jerusalem church. And we're no different today. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. Churches are not supposed to be like in church wars against each other. We're all supposed to be going to heaven together. Why do we want to be fighting against each other, right? You see some of those, "Don't you take my members," or this or that. It's like ridiculous. So when you see even a church in need and your church is thriving and doing well, you help that church, because guess what? As long as they're being godly and they're about God's heart, and they need help, there's no shame in your game to help a smaller church or a church that's not doing as well, okay? But for us here, what we're doing is outreach ministry. So we're helping Pastor Rustus's ministry. He's already planted, I believe, 5 churches. So that's what you're doing there. You're helping this church, and you're helping his churches that he's planted. Pastor Dauber, the same thing. He has a home church, and he has house churches in all the different villages where he's gone. There is nothing to be looked down upon a house church, because in the Bible, that's where they started out, going from home to home, having their churches, right? So, okay, that's what we're doing here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 24. It says, "Wherefore, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." So this says, show these men the proof of your love. Okay, it's kind of like put your money where your mouth is. Where do you think that saying came from, right? A lot of our little sayings that we have today came from the Bible, and we just haven't realized it. But he's saying, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you. And this is the thing. Paul was proud of that church, and he knew if this poor church over here could give like they gave, how much more can you do who aren't poor, right? So he's saying, show the proof of your love. So, and that's not the giving that's done in secret. That's like a corporate giving, okay? These churches that are doing that, we don't tell anybody what we're doing. You're supposed to be letting the congregation and the people that support your ministry know what you're doing. Okay, them churches that are acting like we're keeping everything on the down low, something shady's going on. I'm just going to put it out there, okay? Now, and I heard a big name pastor say that of a mega ministry. I sure did. So, okay, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, right? And we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers. Now, I used to sit in church and look around at the people with me, and I'd be like, I ain't dying for none of y'all. That's what, I mean, really, you read that, and you know how far Jesus took it. He gave his life for us. And it says in the Bible, that's how we know what love is, because he laid his life down for us. But I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't going to lay my life down for nobody in that church. My family, but not everybody around me. Okay, well, we're thinking about that wrong, or I was. I'll throw myself under the bus. Think about it. Material possessions help them with what we have. So like if your brother's in need, don't the Bible, doesn't John the Baptist, when they were saying, well, tell us what we're supposed to do to be forgiven of our sins and stuff. And, you know, John said, if you see somebody needs a coat or and you have two, give them a coat. You know what I mean? You share, you give, you do that kind of stuff. Now, another way, so that's giving from yourself. And in a sense, that's laying down your life because you're giving some of what you acquired and what you have, right? Now, listen to this. Well, real quick, I want to share this because this really touched my heart last night. I found out that Pastor Dauber, he has three, well, they're not really grown, but they're teenage children, two sons and a daughter. And Kennedy's been really, really sick. She has mono, but she's healed by Jesus' stripes. She's healed, okay? And her healing is manifesting more and more in her body. He wrote me and let me know that his three teenage children, without his knowledge, secretly fasted and prayed for her and for me, but for our healing. And that's very humbling, because when someone fasts and prays for you, they lay their life down. They said, today I'm not going to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or if they only get one meal, they said, I'm not going to have that meal. I'm fasting for that little girl. I'm fasting for Pastor Sherry. I'm going to pass that up, and I'm going to pray and seek the Lord and get a breakthrough in their health for them. That's laying your life down for your brother. So another way that we lay our lives down for our brothers, this goes on and says, let us not love with words or tongues. In other words, you know, talk is cheap. You've heard that, right? That's what this is meaning. But with actions and in truth, do it, okay? Loving in action is how we know that we belong to the truth. You know, Scott was saying this yesterday, faith without works is dead. It's, you know, you can go around saying, I love you, Jesus, I love you, and then do nothing and help nobody. And then he's kind of like, really? How are you being like me, right? So we know that we are loving him and showing him our love when we put our words in action and show others, okay? You lay your life down for your friends. Listen to this. When you decide not to do a certain thing or spend a certain amount of money on things that you were planning so that you can help somebody in need. And I'm going to give you an example of this, so that you guys can get it. When you really get in the Holy Spirit, he's going to start working on you and changing you and showing you these things, because he did for me. Because everybody who comes to Jesus, let's just be honest about it. When you come right out of the world and you're freshly out of the world and you come to him, you've been living a life where it's all about you and your family or those in your circle, your inner circle, right? And so you're not having this where you've been about anybody else's needs or caring about anybody else. But that's God's way, is to love and help where you can see that help is needed. So let's look at this first picture. So let's say this is an example, y'all. I've never been to a place like this. But I'll tell you something. When you pass up and you do these things I'm fixing to talk about, just know you're going to have greater than anything this world has to offer you in heaven waiting on you, okay? God's going to show us things we never dreamed of. But look at this place. I can certainly dream about this. Doesn't it look so neat to go and be in this little hut out on the water and have a, you know, vacation? It's peaceful and it's beautiful and right? So, okay, here's our example of laying your life down for your brothers, your sisters in Christ. You say you were going to go on a major vacation and live the high life. But maybe you decided, instead of paying for 2 weeks or however long you're going to stay there, maybe you shorten it to a week. Because God's not saying you can't have anything and you can't do anything. That's not what he's saying. But like Miss Jackie said, the one lady who had 3,000 pairs of shoes. Seriously, do you need 3,000 pairs of shoes? I mean, we got to start thinking about this stuff, okay? So instead of staying as long as you were going to, or maybe instead of going to this extravagant place, you pick something that's not quite as expensive, right? So you're headed to your vacation, Well, la-ti-da, you're going to fly first class. Woohoo, look at me, right? Maybe when you have a heart for the Lord, you decide to make a cutback. And you get back there, and this is funny because Miss Pat, she deals with this industry. You decide to get back there with everybody else, rubbing elbows with the regular folks, and you save some money by doing that, right? Okay, look at this next one. This floored me, y'all. So look at this picture. Now, maybe while you're going on this big, expensive vacation, you maybe cut it down to a week. You maybe didn't fly first class. And now maybe you decide not to eat at the most expensive restaurants. That's a restaurant. It's called Restaurant Sublimotion in the Mediterranean Sea. And it charges $2,078 per person as of the date that I pulled that material. I tell you what, when I see that kind of stuff, like you guys, I talked about it last week, that's enough to plant a church in Kenya. That's enough to feed villagers, orphans. That's enough to supply school supplies in India to help Pastor Dauber with his ministry. I mean, that's what I see when I see that excess like that. Okay? So, we've made all these cutbacks on our vacation, right? We just flew regular class. We didn't fly first class. We didn't stay as long. And maybe we didn't go to the super fancy place. And we certainly didn't eat at that restaurant that charged that much money, right? Now, we made all those cutbacks. And so now you have some money to help somebody else, to help dig a water well, to help, you know, feed somebody, to help, you know, your church do whatever. You know what I mean? To help. And isn't that laying down your life? Because your life was, I was going for 2 weeks. My life was, I was going to eat at that fancy restaurant. You know what I mean? So you change your, it's kind of like you change your desires. God will work on you. He'll change those things in your life where you're not living like that. Okay? And I'm not saying you don't have to have things. But let's think about others too, okay? Because we can be a blessing with what we have, especially if you're able to take that vacation. Dude, okay? So you lay your life down because you saved up that money, that all those cuts you made on your vacation. So now you can help widows and orphans. You can help the poor and needy. And that's God's heart, okay? You can still do things, but you can scale it back some and you can make some sacrifices now in this life, and so that you will have treasures and rewards in heaven. Remember, I said God is the best record keeper we're ever going to meet, and he's documenting everything. And he knew your heart's desire. I really wanted to do this, that, and the other, or maybe I was going to have this big old two-story house that was all to the max, but then I was going to be so in debt that I could barely even pay my tithes, much less help anybody else. Are you living your life to the max like that, to where you couldn't help anybody with anything? Right? We don't want to get ourselves into that kind of a situation. I sometimes think about those patriarchs, Abraham, Moses, the different ones looking down on us and seeing all the stuff we have now, while they were out there roughing it in tents and no electricity and stuff. And here we are talking about we got it bad. Right? Okay. So, when you're really after God's heart, he's going to change you. And I'll tell you something, it feels good to give. That might sound weird if God hadn't worked you and got you into that place yet, but it feels good to give. And when you give like that, and the people know you're giving because of Jesus Christ, and you're giving because of God, they praise God for meeting their needs. They really do. I'm telling you, those people in the villages and those people in those churches, they praise God for us. And so that includes you guys out there because they pray over this ministry. So when you guys are in alignment with us, even you guys who are praying over this ministry, when you're praying over this ministry, God's bringing the right people. God's bringing the people to give and to sow into this so that we can help do what he's designed and created us to do. And so it's all of us. It's not just the people that give with money, but the people that are working for the Lord, praying over his true ministries, okay? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. And 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, that's what I talked about last week where, you know, I was making a sandwich and my mom said, can I have a bite? And then I was like, I was a teenager, remember? And I was like, here, you can just have the whole thing. Well, she knew that wasn't in love. You know, that was a hateful little thing, right? God don't want us to be hateful little things. Here, I'll give this person $20, Lord. And you giving like that, he says, keep it. Because you didn't do anything for me. Okay? And or of necessity, like you have to. And if you're going around and you have that, like, I have to give attitude, you ain't doing yourself no favors because that don't count either. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to cheerfully give your tithes and cheerfully give your offerings. He wants you to be happy about it. Because if you're being like him and you're being molded in the image of Jesus Christ and you're made in his image, then you're supposed to be happy about it. Not like, well, I have to give this out of my paycheck or I got to do that or I got to do, you know, whatever, right? And we talked about if you're not able to get there, the pray and invite God into your situation and he'll help you change, okay? When you give happily, okay, that calls down God's favor on you and all that you have, all of it, because you're giving because you have a heart for him because you're his child. And when you're doing it with a cheerful heart, that calls down all of his goodness and favor on you, okay? Many have misunderstood this to be taking the place of tithing. And I think I did in my original message on tithing too, and that's why God brought it back around to me, and he said, do a new teaching on this. Okay, so we thought this, just giving cheerfully, whatever you think about giving in your heart, we thought that took the place of tithing. Now we don't have to tithe no more. You just give what you feel like giving, right? We have misunderstood this, because this did not take the place of tithing. This... that, you know, that God doesn't expect his 10% because we've made this scripture negate that is wrong teaching. This right here is talking about on top of your tithes, you give. Remember, Jesus and Paul and those disciples weren't having to teach on tithing because why? Those people were under the law, had just come out from under the law. They were already tithing and knew all about it. And Jesus was always on the Pharisees saying, oh, you tithe this and that, but you ain't keeping the God's commandments. Remember, back then, they were supposed to be doing both. Now we keep the commandments that Jesus gave us, okay? The great commandment and the one that's like it. And then before he left, he gave a new commandment. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. He's first place. Okay, so this being a cheerful giver doesn't negate your responsibility to him of paying your tithe. You give your tithe cheerfully, and you give on top of that cheerfully. Remember, tithing is your foundation. That's what's due back to him because it all comes from him. And when you honor him and give back what's due him, he blesses all that you have. And if you think about it, especially if you were on this side of the ministry, you would know what tithes and offerings were meant to do when somebody comes in and they really need help. And the church has been funded like the way it's supposed to be. You can help those that really need. When you have outreach ministries, you can help those, okay? That kind of thing. As well as supporting your pastors, okay? And if people are hating their pastors and don't want to support their pastors and you don't love your pastors, you got something different going on than just not wanting to tithe, okay? There's an issue there, and it's either with you or it's with your pastor. And you, either way, you need to pray about it. If you're in a church that's not being a truthful church and that's why you don't want to give, then you shouldn't be there in the first place. Okay, we're going to get into it next week about how accountable we are for where we sow our tithes and our giving and things like that, okay? So, all right, he wants you to be happy about doing all of that. And if you're not, if your heart is not in the right place, then he doesn't want it and you shouldn't be giving at all, okay? And we certainly don't give to impress the people sitting around us or whatever, right? Or make sure everyone, like this would be a Pharisee. He would be popping it, like if it was a $100 bill, wouldn't he be popping it and then put it in so that everybody saw him, right? Seriously. So, okay. And when you give cheerfully, listen to this, it releases you from slavery to mammon. Now, I never really understood what mammon was, because a lot of us, we just say it's money. Listen to this. When you look up that about mammon, it's money, it's stuff like that. It's a spirit that you are held in bondage to. You see all these little greedy dogs got their hands out. They're trying to get all that money that this spirit of mammon is pouring out. Because why? Because he's got them on the line. Because that's what they're serving. I see this as a picture of ministers that have fallen away because they're chasing money. And they never can seem to get enough. And they do that, what I call shakedown and patting down of the people and all the crooked things that are going on in the church today. And there they are, little greedy dogs, and God's nowhere in that picture. Okay? They made it their God, and they're using people to serve their purposes. And like Miss Pat said earlier, they will answer for that. Everybody will be held accountable for their part. And when those pastors and ministers are not being honorable for the Lord and using it for his glory and his kingdom, they're going to answer for that. Okay? How far down the churches have gone? Look at this next lady. I was floored. Here she is. This is a true and real story. This was on the news. I didn't really like the picture of the one that has the news caption on it, so I took this picture, but it was really on the news in Florida. It says, God loves you for a price. Florida church bills single mom $1,000 for failing to tithe. It was on the news because it really happened. Now, you know, last week we showed that picture where they went around publishing. They typed up the names of everybody who didn't tithe and slapped it on a bulletin board in the church. And then we saw some churches, I think it was the LDS. Remember, I said that's an occult. You don't want up in that church anyway. But they had a thing that said no entry if you don't pay your tithes. Now they're sending bills out to people. Woo! I want to tell you something. You want to run some people away? You get up on them like that. You start sending bills out. That's ridiculous. Somebody was sharing with me last week that somebody had missed church and they were used to getting their check. And when they didn't get that check, they called them up. Come on now. That's really the picture of those greedy dogs with that pot of money. That's what that's all about. Now, I will tell you, once we learn this teaching and we know we're to walk in obedience, we know we're supposed to pay our tithes once we've heard this teaching, right? And then it's up to you and the Lord from that point on. Either you're going to do right or you're not, right? Either you're going to obey or you're going to ask him if you can't. Say, Lord, help me with this. I'm having a really hard time letting go of this. I'm having a hard time doing this, Lord. I need you to change my heart. But it's not up to your pastor to come up you with a paddle or send you a letter or splash your name on a billboard. I seen that on the church thing out front, you know, where the people have those signs about their churches. And they said, Miss So-and-so did not pay tithes this week. I tell you what, if you want to run some people away, people have life going on. Sometimes you lose a job. Sometimes, you know, you might not can make it, you know, you have unexpected things come up. And the thing is, as long as you're pouring it out to the Lord and he knows your situation, those people don't need to be treating you like that. That's how I feel. I did tell you, if somebody's under demonic attack and something like that where they need counsel and they're saying, Pastor, I just don't know what's going on in my life and I can't figure it out and whatever, and you sit down with the pastor to find out what's wrong, why things aren't changing, why something's happening in your life, most of the time demonic attacks or demonic oppression or something, then that pastor, for me anyway, you should go down the list. First of all, are you really saved? Second of all, are you water baptized? Third of all, okay, you go down the list. You're going down the things that Jesus said to do. You're going to hit on tithing because that's walking in obedience, okay? But other than that, you don't go around, trying to shake everybody up and beat it and make them feel guilty and make them do it, right? I just can't believe some of the stuff I'm seeing out there. But anyway, they've gotten so greedy that they're actually doing that, sending bills out to people. You can't make somebody obey, okay? You tell them, you teach them, and you got to move on. And at some point, you know, if they've got Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do that work, okay? We got to teach in love, and then we got to let go and know it's between them and the Lord. So I want to tell you, one person that comes here, I talked about this last week, but lost their job, and they were a tither. And I want to tell you something, though. God blessed them with a better job, with a job that they wanted, that paid better. Okay? He's faithful. I want to tell you something else. I've heard testimonies of people needing provision. They didn't know where it was going to come from or how it was going to happen. But I want to tell you, God can speak to somebody out of the blue. This is what I've heard testimonies about, people that I know personally, to write a check out and mail it to them from clear across the world. Okay, He knows all of our names. He knows all of our addresses. He knows all of our needs. And it might seem impossible to us, but with Him, nothing's impossible. And I want to show you a scripture about this, where how come I know He knows our addresses, our names, and everything else, and how it would be nothing for Him when your back's up against the wall and you don't know where help's going to come from, that He can, you know, touch somebody's heart clear across the world that don't even know you and never heard of you. He can speak your name and give them the address, and He can say, send such and such amount. Okay? Now, I don't know a testimony personally about that. I have heard true testimonies, but I know of people that just drove up to Heaven's Army, that's a ministry here locally, and gave a vehicle because God told them to. And Pastor Jerry had two cars given to him, that kind of thing. God knows. Let's look at this, Acts 9, 10 through 11. And you're going to see an example of how Jesus knows exactly where you're at, and He can tell anybody. I mean, it's like a network for the Lord, right? Our Christian brothers and sisters all around this world. God knows who is able to help, and He can ignite, He can touch anybody's heart and get them up in the middle of the night and cause them to do something like this, okay? And it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. There's the address. And inquire in the house of Judas. That's getting a little more down to the detail. For one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. Jesus knew exactly where to tell Ananias to go. Okay? There, right there was a good example. No phone books. If y'all still know what those are. No internet. No cell phones. No GPS. No need for any of that, because Jesus knows all. Okay? So I want to tell you, I want to show you guys, here's some more things that you're helping this ministry to do whenever you give and support. Look at this picture. This picture is another one out of Kenya. These pastors travel when they can, Pastor Erustis and Pastor Dauber, and they participate in conferences to preach the gospel. This right here is an open-air conference that Pastor Erustis participated in to reach people for Jesus Christ. They're preaching the gospel, okay, right out to the people on the streets. Now, Pastor Erustis doesn't have a car, so everywhere that he's going, we're doing our best to be able to pay, because he's having to pay. Most of the time, he rents something that kind of looks like a little motorcycle, a moped motorcycle-looking thing. But it's expensive, y'all, to go the distances he has to go. And when he's trying to carry things, it's hard to carry stuff. That little thing can only carry so much, okay? But so we're praying and believing for him to have a car, okay? And their cars are not like our cars here. Probably $8,000 or $9,000 would get him a decent car there, okay? So he's doing this kind of work, these open-air conferences, youth conferences, all different kinds of training, as well as checking up on the churches that he's planted. And like I said earlier, I think he's planted like five, okay? This next one is with, this is Pastor Erustus. He's standing here at this little mud-walled thatch home, thatch-roofed home. And this is a widow, and she has two children. He's holding one here. His ministry there helps widows and orphans. Okay, I think this lady like tries to sell potato chips that she makes to people to try to make some money. And they support and help her to take care of those kids, which is what we are supposed to be doing, okay? Look at this next one. This is at, I want to say, his church in Mumias. That was his home church before he just moved to Bungoma to a new church. But this church here, this is... When you give, you're helping these little kids to have treats sometimes. And this is, they're getting to have a little treat. You see them with their little cups there? And I want to tell you something. It breaks my heart how rich we are here in America. And we don't think we're rich because we compare ourselves to the wrong thing. We're comparing ourselves to like the Oprahs and the whoever's that have the huge bank accounts, right? And you know what? Our kids here, because I know, because I was a Sunday school teacher, have their little snacks and their little treats every Sunday. And them little kids walk in the door expecting it because I used to deal with it. Where my snack? Where my cookie? Where my juice? Where my? They don't care about the lesson. They want their snack. Okay? And here these little kids are. They're blessed to get a treat sometimes. So I'm telling you, if they rejoice over the treats and the blessings that they get, okay, and you're part of that. Now we're going to flip over to India. This is Pastor Darver kneeling down, okay? This man, you can see this wooden artificial leg here. It was messed up and it wasn't working for him and it was hurting him really bad. Pastor Darver got his toolbox out and helped to repair this man's artificial leg. These people are very poor, and they do the best that they can with very little. They don't have the benefit of refined medical care, okay? So these are the kind of things that Pastor Dauber is involved in. This next picture is a picture of him. We have a hostel there in India, and I used to not know what a hostel was. I was thinking hostile. I think that's what I was thinking, where you're getting violent. But a hostel is just like an orphanage. Takes in poor and needy children, and I forget what, we're somewhere close to 20 kids, I think. We might be over that now. But that they're trying to feed and clothe and give an education and teach them the gospel, teach them about the Lord. So here they are. This is some of the little kids in the hostel. Okay, I want to share a story with you guys. This is from one of the little kids that are in the hostel. He's really young. I don't know if he's pictured in this picture or not, but I want to share this with you. These are in some of the updates and some of the reports that Pastor Dauber sends to me. And we try to send you guys that support us. When you support and you give, normally we get an email and we send out updates to let you know what we're doing in this ministry. So listen to this. He wrote, Pramod is a boy. He has shared me. Now, this is going to be in his English, okay? And you guys, you can get it. If I can get it, you can get it. This is in Pastor Dauber's words. He has shared me about his experience in the home with his relative, who are very poor. They did not have no food for satisfying their basic fooding, which means their food needs. So sometimes he not fill his stomach. He was very hungry, but when he saw the situation of the relative house, so see, the little boy is staying at the hostel where he's getting to eat and everything. But see, they have like what our kids get, a spring break or a holiday break or that kind of thing. And he went home to see his family because he's a poor kid and they can't take care of him, so he's in the hostel. So he's getting fed and everything in the hostel. But on that break, he went home and he saw that his family's not even getting enough to eat. He wasn't even getting enough to fill his own stomach, right? So he says he saw the situation of the relative house. So when he was in the hostel that time, we give everyone some money for outing for the kids. So they gave them a little bit of spending money and they were taking them like we would call a field trip. That time, he did not spend that money. So he didn't spend his money, the little bit that he got on anything. He saved it. from one day, Sunita, that's Pastor Sunita, Pastor Dauber's wife, taught them about saving and its benefits. So she's trying to teach them about money, right? So she's been teaching them about money and about the benefit of it and how it will be used in their future. And from that day, he started saving that money. So when he saw the situation in the relative family, so back at his home where he would live if they could take care of him, and he gave them 520 Indian rupees. When you convert that to American money, that's like $7 that little boy saved to try to feed his family. He gave them 520 Indian rupees that he was having then. They bought food for the home, so he was praying that day. Then I called up, so this is Pastor Dauber saying, I called up the relative of Pramod for the small labor work. He tries to help these families to be able to help themselves with some kind of income. He tries to teach them skills or teach them how to plant crops, to feed their herds, to sustain themselves. Okay, that's the ministry that he's doing over there. So he was trying to help the family to have some small labor work. And he said, we will continue to call them with when we have little work. From the day of my accident when he had his car wreck and what I feel the disabled people, they are dependent. When Pastor Dauber, and God does this sometimes, he works good through everything that happens to us. Pastor Dauber was disabled with his leg, with his hip from walking around and stuff. And then he had more empathy and compassion on the people there that are disabled. Because then it in your mind, when you're going through something, then you're like, oh, I know what that person's been experiencing. I know how they feel now because it's happening to me, right? So he's saying, from the day of my accident and what I feel, the disabled people, they are dependent to others. They're dependent on others. They always want to do by themselves, but they are not able to do anything if someone is not there to help them. So that experience I felt that time is an example. I also need someone. So when I see this kind of story and situation, see or heard automatically from the day of my accident, I always have tears. And previous, I was a very strong man, and I did not used to have tears in me easily. But now it's easily by seeing any poor situation for any human being. We're supposed to have compassionate heart, God's heart. So I fully effort to do something for them. God always shows or leads me to do so. So I never looked at money matter, but what I have skilled dignity for them. I will do that for them, and how I can, I am thankful to God that my family, they also have same behavior today from the story of Pramod. It touched their hearts, his own family's heart, this little boy's testimony. He said, I have experienced the same, and this behavior is also building up in my hostel kids. The other little kids are doing the same thing, trying to save their money. And the situation is not only of Pramod, it's of everyone in the hostel. So, sister, you know, when God starts working, then Satan always tries to break them. Past which my sources of supporting has stopped already, and God has opened, he's opened up Three Hearts Church Ministry to help them there. Because Pastor Dauber's saying, I don't have the means to keep helping anymore. So he's looking to us, and we're all looking to God. That's who he looks to first and foremost, but God has aligned us to work together. So he was saying to Three Hearts Church for helping us, and Three Hearts Church congregation for the help and support for this ministry. We have big area of needs, and we pray that God will provide more money for his ministry, and that we can go to those people who are not only spiritually, physical, economically, socially, mentally. He wants to reach everybody. Okay, we should have a heart for the handicapped, the disabled people as well. Okay. He says, I always remember this word for the Bible, and also tell to my sister and brother, God has given us a loving heart. So when he's ministering to all these people, this is a scripture he shares with them, and I want to share it with y'all. It's really powerful. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, which is trouble, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort, that's the help, which we ourselves are comforted of God. So what we have received, the comfort that we receive, then we can help to comfort others, right? And this is the scripture that Pastor shares with them. I want to tell you something. Listening and reading about that little boy, as little as he is, sitting there trying to save that money to help feed his family, who didn't even have enough. He couldn't even get a full belly there when he went back home on holiday, and he was saving that little bit of money that they gave and different little things. He was saving money, and he saved up $7 to try to feed his family. Okay, now I want to share a testimony with you guys, because I was telling you this was a revelation from the Lord about being worthy to be the bride, to be in the rapture, right, to escape what's coming on this earth. And the Lord revealed to me that those who don't walk in obedience to him, right, will be going to hell. Well, he's not going to let disobedient children in heaven. I mean, we know that, right? And Jesus said, "When if you love me, you'll obey me." So if you're not obeying him, do you really think he's going to let you in heaven? Because when you don't obey, you're showing him you don't love him. So like Miss Pat said, I think a while back, she said that'd be just like taking everybody down here and putting them up there. We'd be having the same junk, right? God's not going to do that, okay? He wants us to love him, give ourselves to him, our heart to him, and to obey. So listen to this. This is another one of those testimonies. This is from Angelica Zambrano. This was her second visit to heaven and hell. Among all those people in hell, I heard someone saying, "I ask for your forgiveness now, Lord, because I have stolen from you. Forgive me for stealing. I stole from you, Lord, and I do not want to do it again." She asked, "Lord, who is he? And why does he say he stole from you?" "My child," this is Jesus speaking, "my child, I will show you who he is." She says, "We entered his cell and I saw a disfigured man. The flames opened up and I could see that he was being tormented. All those people who are in hell have a plaque on their chest and 666 on their forehead." Now, I always think of Mary Kay Baxter's testimony where she said everybody in hell, it's either written around them, it's written there where they can see exactly what their sin was. There isn't any of this, "Well, I don't even know how I got here," junk, really. God will put it before you plain as day. So this person is saying they had a plaque on them, on their chest, and 666 on their forehead. She says, "The man extended his hand and said, 'Lord, forgive me.' I asked, 'Why are you here?' He replied, 'I'll tell you my story. I was a Christian leader for 20 years. I had known Christ. But during the 20 years, I said, all that money from my tithing and offerings were just to sustain the pastors.'" So he wasn't giving it, right? Because he thought it's just for them. And it's kind of like that thing where he didn't love and respect them and didn't want to give because of them. So he said, "I just thought that money was just to sustain the pastors. But now I regret it because I understand and I know that it wasn't for them. It was for the Lord. And that is why I say I have stolen from God. At this very moment, there are many people on earth that are robbing the Lord like I did." This is the man in hell speaking. He says, "When you return to earth, tell all those people who don't want to give their offerings and tithes not to steal from the Lord. Otherwise, they'll wind up in hell. And no thief will enter the kingdom of heaven." And the Bible does say that. I'm going to bring it out in the next part really clear. God said in Malachi chapter 3 that when you don't bring your tithes and offerings, you rob him, right? And so a robber is the same thing as a thief. You're stealing, okay? That's also one of the commandments from back under the law, right? And I think it's in the back of Revelations and maybe another place where it says no thief's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, "I knew the holy word." Remember, he was a leader for 20 years. "Now I regret it and realize I robbed the Lord." And that's Malachi 3:8. He said, "Tell the people when they give to God, give to the Lord with true love." 2 Corinthians 9:7. This man kept pleading, "Lord, forgive me." And the Lord replied, "It is too late. there is no opportunity for you. I have heard that time and time again about these people in hell. When other people are given these dreams or visions, revelations, and Jesus is with them there, that these people cry out to him. And they're asking for mercy. They're asking for repentance. They're asking forgiveness. They're asking for a second chance. And sometimes I heard that Jesus cries. And you might think, well, that's not. Yes, he created them. They're his creation and he loves them. But I'll tell you something. He will love you even in hell. Because I've heard other testimonies where Jesus said the judgment is set and it can't be changed. When you leave this earth, when you die, whether you get judged at that point or not, you're instantly going to know what your judgment's going to be. Because your spirit, your soul's going to either go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. And you're going to know right there, okay? Even if you haven't been judged yet, because judgment will come. So, let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's the same thing with our giving. We're not given to, you know, these people or that, this, that, and the other or whatever. We're given to the Lord because he's the one that's keeping an account of it. And he's the one laying up our treasures in heaven, okay? So I want to tell you, you're not giving to that pastor. You're not giving to that church. You're not giving to anything else. Your heart is to be that you are given to the Lord. He's the one you love, and he's the one that requires it, and he's the one that you're doing it for, okay? I want to share something that Brother Kenneth at the church we used to go to shared with us all one Sunday morning, okay? Look at this next guy. You guys, at least here in the United States, I don't know about y'all around the world, but we have these guys all over the place with their little cardboard signs and stuff. So, I mean, you see a sign, homeless and need work, anything. Anything helps. God bless. Thank you. Now, Brother Kenneth said about the people that ask for money on the street corners, it's not our job to determine if they really need help or if they're lying, okay? Because we have a lot of panhandlers who have really nice cars that they park right around the block and then they change into some old dirty, raggy clothes and then they get out there with their little sign and they're making big money doing that. Okay, and so sometimes you're like, are you a panhandler? Are you the real thing? There really are some real people mixed in with that, right? So, but here's the thing. He said, you don't sit there and try to determine if this is a real person in need or if it's a panhandler. He said, when we give with the right heart, that God will reward us. So if you felt, you know, the Holy Spirit move on you and you gave to that person and, you know, and maybe they were a panhandler, guess what? God knows your heart and you still laid up treasures in heaven. They will answer for what they were doing and what they did with that, okay, and why they were lying and whatever. But when you give with the right heart, God honors it, and you still laid up your treasures in heaven, okay? So don't, I mean, if it's obvious, you don't do that, right? Because you ain't getting no reward, because God knows you knew. But when you don't know, and you're feeling compelled to give something, just know that God will reward you for that, okay? Just be led by your Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you this, look at this next little sign. I don't know what version of the Bible this is, but we're just going to read this out. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, I used to not understand how God was going to receive thanksgiving for something that I did, right? So I had a picture of me doing something or whatever and the person knowing it was me and thanking me. And I'm like, well, I don't know how you're supposed to get thanked, Lord. That was me. That was my little baby Christian stuff. So I thought, I know because remember I shared I have a gift. One of my gifts is giving, and I like to give. And so I know that when I give, it made me feel good. It makes me feel good. Because if you have the right heart when you give, it does make you feel good. So I was like, okay. But here's the thing with how God's going to get thanked in the situation. When you give in God's name, so that person knows you're a Christian or you're giving because you're a Christian. You're doing it in Jesus' name right there, okay? What happens when they receive something that they really need, when somebody's really in need, and they know you're a Christian and you did it because you have a heart for the Lord, they praise Him and they thank Him for meeting their need. So you might feel good because I always did anyway, but God is getting the glory because that person is praising and thanking the Lord. That's how that works. I'll tell you, like when you guys give and then we give to the outreach ministries, and those guys there, like, you know, they're like, how did we get, you know, I keep talking about water wells, but we do so much more than just that. But then they're like, how were we able to do this? And then, you know, when Pastor Erezes or Pastor Dauber shares, you know, we're aligned with, you know, Three Hearts Church in the United States, and they love us and they give and they help us, then those people start praying for us, and that includes you guys. They start praising the Lord for that. So there you are getting prayed over and being lifted up to the Lord for what you did, for your giving. So it's amazing how that cycle, how that flows when you let the blessings flow, okay? Speaking of that, look at this next little picture. I thought it was a neat one. So when you look at this, like a combination to a safe, right? So all the good stuff is inside there. We want the right combination. We want to get in there, okay? Be a cheerful giver, be faithful, giving and tithing, right? And then it says, what's in that treasure, what's in that bank or that safe? Heaven's blessings. And you do that by your obedience to Him. And you know, you've heard that you're blessed to be a blessing. I used to not really get that so much, and I used to hear people like, God will bless you so you can bless others, and then I'd be like, well, if it just comes through here and then I just give it away, I didn't get anything. You can keep some of it. That's how it works, okay? And then you give some, okay? That's the way it keeps flowing. It don't just stagnate. I got it all for me. No, you can keep some and then let some go, right? So look at this cycle. This is a cycle of grace giving. I thought this was really appropriate. You start out over here like on the left top arrow, and it says we give to God. It gives you all the scripture references on this little picture, okay? So you give to God, then His grace abounds to us, right? Then you give more to God, and God blesses you even more. And it keeps flowing like that. And you're giving to God when you're giving to the church. That's a true church. When you're giving to those in need, all those things. When you're paying your tithes and you're giving offerings and you're giving, you're doing this little cycle right here. Okay? And the blessing keeps flowing, and He keeps protecting, and He keeps blessing you. Okay. So that saying, blessed to be a blessing, it's really true. Sometimes God tests us to see what we're going to do with the blessings He gives us. Okay, we get tested all along this walk, just like God tested Abraham. He wanted to see, are you going to go up there with Isaac? Are you going to really get him on that altar? Do you really love me? We have tests placed in front of us all the time, and God's waiting until you pass that test. Once you pass the test, there'll be another one, right? And I used to think in Sunday school when I was a baby Christian, and I would hear that, and I knew I needed patience. And they'd be like, oh, man, you don't want to pray for that. And then I found out, because they were saying, when you start praying for patience, God's going to put you in every kind of situation where you're going to get frustrated and agitated and everything else, right? Because He's going to work patience in you. So they would say, be careful what you pray for, but you need patience, so go ahead and do it. Step out there, be brave. But anyway, so we're going to be tested, and as we pass our test, we come up higher to Him, okay? We keep coming up higher to Him, you might say deeper in Jesus and higher up to God the Father, okay? And if He poured out a great big blessing on you, and let's say you had that me attitude, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to, right? He's watching that. And, you know, like I said, you can keep some and you enjoy the blessing, you and your family and all that, but He also wants it to flow out and help somebody else, help some, you know, others, right? So He's watching to see, are you just going to spend it all on you and be greedy with it or what? So we want to think about others, okay? In closing, I want to share something with you, because I talked to Pastor Erustis about this, about alms, and I was asking him, you know, what was his understanding of what alms are. Because remember, that's what we're doing. We want to do in secret. That's the stuff we don't want to announce. Because see, tithing member, if you're a real Christian and you've learned about tithing and you're walking in obedience, then I know you're a tither and you know I'm a tither, okay? Not asking or telling y'all to do nothing that we're not expected to do too. We don't get a pass. Okay, so alms, it said over in Matthew, I think it was, to do your alms giving in secret, not to blow the trumpet like the Pharisees and get everybody's attention, right? Okay, so this is Pastor Erustis, and he said about alms, to me, looking at its definition and some scriptures, means the things one gives to the needy, especially the poor, widows, elderly, orphans, as an act of charity from one's heart for the love of God. This can be food, clothes, money, or even just acts of kindness. And he references Acts 3, 1 through 6. He says, the beggar at the beautiful gate sat at the door, receiving things from believers. And verse 5 says he expected something from Peter and John. And it was Peter who specified that he didn't have money or silver. So they knew the guy was looking for money, like you'd see somebody sitting on the sidewalk these days with their cup, right? And so Peter said he didn't have silver or gold. And in Acts 9, 36 through 41, we read of a disciple by the name of Tabitha, or Dorcas, because that's the same person. And the Bible says she was full of good works and alms deeds. In her case, she was sewing coats and garments and making things that she gave as alms to the widows. So she was making things for them, okay? In Acts 10, 1 through 4, the story and testimony of Cornelius. Remember, he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. And the gospel came first to the Jews, and then God opened the door for the rest of us. So it's his testimony. It says the testimony of Cornelius, not saved, because he wasn't a Christian, but learned the secret of giving alms and prayer. He wasn't a Christian, but he was giving alms and he was praying already. And guess what? He got God's attention. It says, the Bible says his alms and prayers went before the Lord as a memorial. And so from that, he says, we learn that any giving we do to men is really to God, who eventually will reward us in this life and in eternal life to come. It's here and there, double, okay? We lay treasures in heaven. You remember the Bible says, whatever we do, let's do it as unto the Lord. It's God who rewards, not men. In Acts 24, 17, Paul says, after many years, he came back to bring alms and offering to his nation. I believe, now this is Pastor Russ is saying, I believe alms were for the poor and offerings giving for church ministry work by the disciples. He says, in the book of Matthew 6, 1 through 20, Jesus taught about three things that we should do them in secret: giving, prayer, and fasting. In verses 1 through 4, he talks of giving alms in secret. He says we should not go around announcing with pride all over, which is the spirit of hypocrisy, what is the motive of one's giving. Do you want people to see you and know, or are you after pleasing God in your heart? If we expect to be rewarded by God, then our acts of righteousness must be of a clean, godly motive. We are not to do or give for selfish motives. You know, sometimes you've heard that you give so you can get something back. You're expecting something back. You see, when you're really giving with the right motive, you give and you don't expect anything in return. And when you're really giving, you give to somebody who can't bless you back, right? You don't go and give to somebody just because you know they're going to turn around and give you something good back, right? You're already scheming right there. You already got the wrong heart. So he says, We're not to do or give for selfish motives or be seen or known or admired or praised by others. Hypocrites always want to be seen and get glory for themselves. Such, Jesus said, will never receive any reward from God. Luke 11:41, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees about their hypocritical hearts in whatever they do. They were much concerned with outside, what men could see, but inside, what God saw, the heart, they were unclean. Now, people give into our churches and ministries. It's good to be accountable and open to what we receive and what we are using it for. And he and Pastor Dauber always give detailed reports of everything that they're doing with what we give, okay? Telling people where we use our tithes and offerings, our alms, etc., to me, it's not wrong. Many receive money or things for their selfish gains or stomachs. You remember Paul in the early church used to receive other church donations, which we just talked about, and collections to help the poor, widows, and mission works. And he openly stated in his letters and shared in with the concerned brethren and churches, and because he talked openly about their giving, because there were several churches giving to help the church in Jerusalem. And they all knew they were all working together to do that great work for the Lord, okay? And that's in Corinthians and Philippians. He says, all manner of giving is unto God. Jesus said, whatever you do to our fellow brothers and sisters, we do to him. And Proverbs says, when we give to the poor, we lend to God. And remember, I talked about that last week. When you lend to God, he ain't going to forget. He's going to repay you. And God is the type of God. He's a God of rewards. He's going to pay you back more than you gave, I can tell you that. Okay, and that's how we lay our treasures in heaven. He says, that's my thoughts, Pastor. Receive our loving greetings. And those guys there, they always are sending loving greetings and thanking everyone. Everyone who gives and supports and does what we're all doing together to help our brothers and sisters around the world, okay? So next week we're going to wrap up this teaching. Okay, and then we're going to go into music because God's been revealing some stuff to me about what we've been listening to even in our churches and in our homes and in our cars, even as Christians, how bad it is, okay? So we're really going to get into it, what they're doing, praying demons into our music and stuff, okay? We got to be aware. We don't want to perish for lack of knowledge, okay? It's warfare, and we want to get into it and fight against it, okay? So let's pray, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are our sacrifice if we choose you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that you shed for us, which is all powerful. And dear Heavenly Father, you are the great I am that I am. And we bless your holy name. Lord, we want to be like you. Please mold us and shape us by your Holy Spirit power to be like you. Lord Jesus, you said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. That means obey what he said to do. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, which means live with him. That's his Holy Spirit coming inside of us. And we know, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit's not poured out to everyone. Only those with sincere hearts for you. For those who have not known about this teaching, and for all of us, please, Lord, soften our hearts and help us to serve you completely and to give all of ourselves to you. Help us, Lord, not to be greedy or stingy or any of those things. Sometimes it's hard to give because we've been living above our means. That's where Scott and I were when we first came to the church. We were so in debt and so stretched out because of how we were living. But I'm telling you, God will help you make a way. And if you don't involve him, and he knows that you know this teaching now, if you're listening to this prayer, you're pretty far in this teaching by now. And if you don't ask him, you don't want to go to hell because you didn't ask the Lord to help you. He'll help you.
So, Lord, help us to really make you Lord of our lives, all of it, even our money. Help us to please you in all that we do. You are the one who pours out a blessing so great we cannot even receive it all in based on our obedience. You own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the gold and silver is yours. Thank you so much for your many blessings that each one of us receive continually. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for salvation. Lord, for Mr. Noel and his family. They're Catholics. Father, I didn't meet that man by accident. So, Lord, I ask you, I see a hunger in him. We lift him up. We lift up our friends and relatives who are not saved. Lord, those who we know who are in false religions and who are in occults. Lord, those blinded by witchcraft and everything else going on in this world, Father, we ask you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit power, to draw them, a strong drawing, Lord, to Jesus Christ. Lord, for their salvation, we stand in the gap and we intercede for them. We lift them up to you, Lord. We want them to be in heaven with us, Lord. I want to encourage you guys out there. We pray for our friends and family, right? You guys who are in school, in college and different things, in high school and regular school, pray for your friends, for their salvation. You want to be with them in heaven. When you go to doctor's appointments, pray for your doctors and the staff. If you work on the job, pray for your coworkers. We're crossing these people's paths for a reason. We want to pray for them. We want to pray for the people that God places in our path. We pray for their salvation. And Lord, Lisa T., she was asking for growth, Lord, to be rooted and grounded strong in her faith and for perseverance to run her race, Lord. And we, all of us, desire that, Heavenly Father. Help us to persevere, to not give up, to keep going, and to encourage each other. And you guys out there, I know a lot of y'all can't find real and true churches, and praise God for technology that you can at least tune into this church. Lord, we thank you for that. And we know we're in that time of the great apostasy, the falling away, where when people cannot even find a real and true church, we're in the end of days, I'm telling you. But that's what, if you can find fellowship, if you can find someone that can lift you up, that it's something about being in person where you can hug somebody and greet them and see their face, okay? Seek that out, and we'll be praying for you guys to find real and true churches. And Lord, for healing, Miss Joanne, she's been having stomach issues, and I know, don't give up, Miss Joanne, because I know Pastor Arustus had stomach issues for, I think he said 16 years, and then one day God delivered him. And I want to tell you something. That man sees miracles in his ministry. And just because you don't get your miracle healing that happens instantly does not mean that God's not real, doesn't mean he quit doing miracles, doesn't mean any of those things. It may not be the right time, because I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Arustus is a very humble servant. And there he is doing all the things and the sacrifices that he's making for his congregation. And he himself wasn't healed. I know how that is, because I myself am waiting on my healing to manifest. Don't give up on God. Lord, we lift Miss Joanne and those needing a healing touch to you, Lord Jesus. And we're reaching out to touch the hem of your garment. And we're believing your word, which says, by your stripes we are healed. And I'm asking for that healing to manifest in everybody listening that needs healing, Lord. And right now I want to pray a special prayer. I had a prayer request come in this morning. I'm not sure how to say this name, and I've said it before, but it's either age or it's a gee. She's asking for prayer for her daughter with epilepsy. And I just want to kind of share some things that I know and help you guys out there, because she's not alone. There's a lot of people that are battling and dealing with epilepsy. So I want to tell you that is usually a demon, okay? Now, her little daughter had this ever since she was born. You remember what I said in Scripture, the man that was coming to Jesus for the deliverance of his son, and I believe that was the one where the disciples couldn't do it and Jesus had to do it. And he said, Jesus asked, how long has he been like this, or you know, this been happening? And he said, since, I think he said a child. And when you look that up in the Greek, it's since an infant. Okay? Now, when you have not broken off generational curses out of your life, your little babies that are formed in the womb, even from conception, have those generational curses placed on them when they come into this world. They already have the curses and the sin and all the stuff from your parents, your grandparents, okay, 3 to 4 generations back. So, you're fighting spiritual warfare. So, in order to pray over somebody in your family or somebody you know that, say, we're dealing with epilepsy right now, you first have to be saved. You can't speak in Jesus' name, and you can't cast demons out if you don't have his blood applied to your life, okay? You need to break off all generational curses off of yourself and your husband and speak it out over your daughter. In this case, she's just a little toddler. She's too little to know how to do that, okay? You're going to want to clean out your house. Anything you have in your home that's like idolatry, that's any kind of witchcraft tokens, tarot cards, you know, jewelry that's like the pentagram, any of that kind of stuff. Things that, fortune telling, what do you call that? Horoscopes, any of that kind of stuff. All Disney toys, movies, if you got that kind of stuff in her room, you want to get all of that out. That's from the Masons. That's an occult. You want to get rid of all of your movies that are not godly movies. Anything, any books that are the same way, any vampire, zombie, you know, bloody, blood and gore type movies, stuff like that. You welcome demons into your home when you own these things. You want to get rid of all that kind of stuff. So you just want to sweep through your house and get rid of everything that stands out to you as not being godly and not being holy if Jesus were to come into your home. Then you want to get your holy anointing oil, and you can do this yourself. You don't have to go buy anything special. And I shared with Miss Age or Agiva the messages that I did on that, and how you can anoint you can ask God's blessing and anointing and sanctification on the oil at your home that you can buy from the grocery store. You want to go around your house and you want to anoint the doors and the doorways and the windows and the rooms and everything, entryways in your house, and speak scripture and blessings and welcome his Holy Spirit and his holy angels in that place always and continually. These are things that you do in warfare, okay? Now, after you've done all this kind of stuff, and you also want to be sure, like I said, you're saved. You want to be sure you're water baptized. You've sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want to be sure that you take communion. You want to read his word. You want to pray. All these things, okay? You want to walk in intimate relationship with him. Because when you start to fight the devil, he knows if you're really Jesus's or you're not. And if you're not, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. But if you are, you're going to put that kingdom on the run. Okay? And I'll tell you one more thing. Like Scott was telling me, with your little babies and things, you want to dedicate them to the Lord. You want to have them set apart and dedicated to the Lord and make that promise to him that you're going to raise your children in his will and his ways. You're going to train them up in the Lord, okay? And something else, you may cast out these demons or whatever. You may have to do it more than once, okay? This is warfare. So now we're going to do this for Age's daughter. We're going to also, anybody out there who has epilepsy, we are speaking right now in the name of Jesus Christ to the spirits of epilepsy on all these people and on Age's daughter. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the spirit of epilepsy. Right now, we command you up and out. You flee in the name of Jesus Christ. You leave off of her in Jesus' name. You get out of her. You have no right to her in the name of Jesus Christ. And right now, we have taken all authority and power over you, Satan. We come at you in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is the name above all names, and we trample on serpents and scorpions, and you take your orders from us in Jesus' name.
you will flee up and out of Aegis' daughter and everybody else dealing with epilepsy. We speak to the demons of epilepsy and we command you out. We bind you and we command you out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak to the spirits of infirmity. We bind you. We command you out. The spirits of torment, unclean spirits, we bind you and we command you up and out right now in Jesus' name. You flee in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over Aegis' daughter and over those people that have been dealing with these issues. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, we cover and soak them in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we decree and declare that no weapon formed against a child of God shall prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you because we know that you have been in this warfare with us and that you are the one whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting Aegis' daughter free. We thank you for setting those free who are listening. We thank you for that healing that we're going to see and we're going to witness and the testimonies that are going to come. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for teaching us how to warfare for those we love and for ourselves. Every single one of us is supposed to be able to cast out demons. That's part of what Jesus commanded. That's part of the Great Commission. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And he said that we would speak with new tongues. We would cast out demons. He said we do trample on serpents and or handle serpents, which means that we trample on them. You don't go get a snake and play with it. And he said we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We will do all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when you're a child of the Most High and living God and you stand on his word, you carry his name and you've got his blood applied to your life, his miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. His word says so, and he's not a man that he should lie. And I just want to end this with, Lord, please help your children all around this world, Heavenly Father, not to get weary in well-doing. Help us to keep on keeping on, Lord, for your glory, your honor, and your kingdom. Bless your children, Lord. Protect us, Father. And we thank you for your mercy and your grace, which is new every morning that you pour out on us continually. We'll never know all the things that you've kept back from us that were for our harm. But because of your holy warring angels, because of the wall of fire you place around us, because of your great and mighty hand of protection on us, Father, we do shine. And we thank you, Father, for all the things that you're doing. And I decree and declare Psalm 91 over all of your children, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard.
He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay? They believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God. Okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony. Okay? God bless y'all.